We're up to Simen Samach Vav, Heter Iska, or the laws of Iska. Before we do that, we have yet to do two more Sha'arim Mitzion V'Halacha. It's on page Shin Lamed Gimel, Shelek. Okay, today's a good day for snow. Is there any snow in the forecast?
No
Ayin Hara? Not here.
Don't mention the word.
You have salt left? A shovel still? Put away the shovel here, no?
I put away the shovel yesterday.
Put away the shovel? Tayom Taber Magal.
Locked it up.
In the summertime, the okay, so let's see Yud. Let's take a look at Yud Gimel Shutafin. Okay, I didn't prepare this, so you'll help me out. I forgot to prepare this. So we're up to really I prepared the next simon. Simon Samachva, but let's try to run through these last two Shi'adim Mitzvim Halacha. Shutafin, we learn in Halacha Choftes. Shutafim Shitrichim Lil Voice Most Beribis Mabum Yasu Shelas Kochim Echlasis Goyim. If you want partners, want to borrow money from a guy, they should ask a Shelas Kochim. Let's see. So Ayin Beshut Mulamil Hoyal. The Yisrael Vigoy Shayeshlam Mischar Beshutvis. This is a different case. This is a case where the partners are a Jew and a guy are partners in a business. Mahulin Likichas Mesinas Ribis, what's the law with regard to? Can they take out a loan? Can the business take out a loan with the ribis? Again, today a lot of these things are not halacha lemaisa, because if it's a corporation, corporation is a very unique concept in halacha. Corporation did not exist. Such a concept of corporation did not exist until modern times. In time of Shulchan Aruch, there's no such thing as a business entity where I'm not responsible.
Limited liability.
There's no such thing. You have a business, that means if you have a business, you're a partner, you own 50% of the business. You get 50% of the profits are yours, 50% of the profit of the loss are yours. If you borrow money, you're responsible. This concept that you can set up a business where it's an independent entity,
a legal person,
and I can draw money, profits, but if there's a loss, I can declare bankruptcy and I have no responsibility. This is an invention. When did it first come to existence? Actually, anyone know the dates of such a thing? It was invented in America. This isn't before America. A corporation.
Limited liability.
When did it first come into existence in the world, the modern world? Did it exist in Europe before?
LTD
existed before the United States came in 1776. It exists such a thing? Maybe, I don't know.
It's very old.
But in Shulchan Aruch, it does not appear that it's
Korach's idea.
It does not appear that it existed in Shulchan Aruch. So a lot of these issues are not such issues, as long as that, because corporations already are out there as a separate entity, and they're not subject to the laws, at least according to Rav Moshe, they're not subject to many of the laws of Ribbis. But here he's discussing a regular example of a partnership. So do we say Breira? Maybe you can say brayer that whenever you borrow the money that the ribbis part goes belongs to the guy. The hell of sham the hagoy yilva biachrayis the day shem yoyva rachoyv yischayiv hu l'shalom b'moisav v'chein im lover yilva hagoy l'tzorch atzma v'hu levada yischayiv l'hamalve v'achar kach yilva ha'yishol mishutfoy hanochri. So he says what you should do, you should structure anytime the business needs to make a loan with ribbis, is that the guy should borrow the money. The goy should borrow the money on his own, and then after the goy borrows the money, the Jew then should borrow from the goy. So it's a two-tier loan. That's how the transaction should be structured. That's very pretty complicated. V'chein yesh oy tzad l'hater im histu mitchilo kishe hishtatvu shekol ma sheyarvichu miribish shel Yisrael yehei shel anochri. They should stipulate that any time there is a transaction of ribbis, if the loan, the business is borrowing money beribbis or lending money beribbis to a Jew, that profit should go to the goy. And if it's being borrowed or lent to a goy, that profit should go to the Yisrael. And everything will even itself out, pretty much along those lines. The chayin linyin ha'itzos, all the expenses, shekol sheyotziu l'shalim ribis l'yisrael yotzi mimomen shal nachri, v'chol sheyotziu l'shalim ribis l'nachri yotzi mimomen shal yisrael, v'ashol lo yikach ribis m'yisrael, lo yishal ribis l'yisrael, el kol asokim sheyesh v'em shum tzad ribis yaseh ha'nachri. Any part of the business that deals with ribis, that is the domain of the non-Jew. Any part of the business Zelumazeda deals with non-ribis is the domain of the Yisrael. Kevan Shehisne came betchil. If that's how this business was structured at its inception, im kein betchilo ein li shol shum chelak bohani asakim umuter kumol inyan Shabbos. Very common situation when you have a business that's owned jointly by a Jew and non-Jew, and the business is open on Shabbos. How do you deal with schar Shabbos? So it has to be structured that the schar Shabbos goes to the goy, and zelumazeh, that the goy will give up on his rights on profits that come in during the week to correspond, to compensate for what he takes for Shabbos. That's how you do it. Anyone that has a business, it's very common today. You have business people today, it's much more complicated word. You have a business, so almost every business today has a website. On every website, you're taking work is open, it's open Shabbos.
How agri-processes
work. They have a
shulman. The manager of the plant in Iowa got the profits for Shabbos. That was his salary, was the Shabbos profits.
Shabbos profits, and everything else
that's
goes.
How grossing is operated.
Everything that's in shutfis,
Shabbos, yeah.
You have to have a shutfis with the guy. It's becoming more.
Why can't you do this show with the electric companies?
Because it's owned by Jews. Everything is owned by Jews.
So it's a stock.
They should sell it to a guy. They should sell it to a guy. So they could. These are all extreme chumras. Of course they could. Or Hetter Bechira, and there's also Shemitah coming up next year. Hetter Bechira, and there's the electricity, you sell the electricity to the guy for Shabbos, you make a shutfest. You can do these things.
Yeah, I mean,
these are chumras.
The PLO keep the electricity, they owe them $500 million.
You're 100%
so
right, you can do this.
Awesome,
people who are Machmir feel that they want to be Mahader, it's not in the flavor, it's not in the spirit of the law.
Get them as a partner.
Of course you can do it.
You can't get them as a partner for anything.
Look at B&H. They closed their website, if I'm not mistaken. That's an amazing thing to do. That's unheard of. In this world today, it's a very big business, and they're selling very high end.
You have a lot of people behind the scenes. You have to have the website has to still have people fill the orders.
But they don't take the orders. In Shabbos, the website is shut down. You can't put in an order on Shabbos. You can browse, I heard. I never went there on Shabbos, so I don't know. But I heard you can browse. You can browse, but you can't go to the shopping cart. There's no shopping cart. There is no click here to purchase. Buy. You know, it's an amazing thing. Then I'm not going to do that. Al pi halacha, they can make a shus with a guy, and they can take orders on Shabbos, and the profits, they can structure. This is Meisim B'chol Yom. A vending machine. This is not a new Shaila. The website Shaila is an ancient old Shaila. It's called the vending machine Shaila. And vending machines going back 60 years. And this Shaila was asked and decided, people putting in money, all the solutions for the vending machines are the same exact solutions for the website, the e-commerce Shilas. Okay, so here we have same example when it comes to ribis. You have a business that's owned by ribis, just like you make a partnership with a guy for a business owner that's operating on Shabbos. There's a partnership between a guy and a Jew. The same thing is true when it comes to ribis. You make a shutfis, and instead of Shabbos chol, the shutfis is ribis and non-ribis. The ribis part of the business is the domain of the guy, and the part of the business that's not involved with ribis is the domain of a Yisrael. And if you don't make a tanai, then you have to be mevatel the shutfis. You have to dissolve the business. Can you imagine what a nightmare that would be? To go dissolve the business and to start all over again with the legal fees? And you can make make a new tanai. Okay, so that is the halacha lemaase. I don't know how far it goes. It's very complicated. I think you imagine you have a business legally, and the business was set up in a legal way, and now you have to go and vatal the business. You want to do it according to the books, according to New York State, according to the federal government. The lawyer's fees for this can be run into the millions of dollars if you have a real legitimate business. So I don't know how far it goes in halacha when you make the shtaris, exactly how they work these things out, because most of the time people come and ask the shaila after they already have the problem, right? Isn't that the way it goes normally? You already have. You don't. Oh, I'm going to start a business because you know every business is fine. Let's go for the next mumma halacha yudalit. The Pisri Tshuva, Kosav, Shetoyv Lishamet Nimenu, the Halacha will discuss a mumma. If you have a, you want to borrow money or lend money to an irreligious Jew, are you mechuyv to abide by the laws of Ribbis? An irreligious Jew for most of Halacha is considered a goy. A mumma l'chal Shabbos has the status of a goy. So he's not subject to the laws of Ribbis. Yet it says here the Hitch Lachanachi, yes, you mechuyv to abide by the laws of Ribbis. Mumma Pisri Tshuva, Kosav Shetoyv Lishamet Nimenu, you shall remove yourself from a irreligious Jew. Shlo yilve lo klal the gam beloy rebisas lulvayis lo. He is a chiddush. Even to borrow money from him or to lend money, even not rebis is not proper. You should have nothing to do with irreligious Jews. That's a very very chumrah. It's a very big chumrah in business. I don't know if you're going to be able to survive. V'ayin b'shut avni nezer shenosan b'zech hilukim. It's not so simple. The imhu mumu l'chol ha'taru nidvak b'das goyim mitzvah likach menu b'ribis. He says a chiddush that it's mutter. If he's such a mumer, ad k'day kach, that he goes to church on Sunday, ad k'day kach, then mitzvah likach menu b'ribis. It's like an insult to him. You're telling him, l'nochri tashach. And Achnami, go take a bite out of him. Lend him beribis. Fascinating. Also, let's say he's lahachis. He doesn't need to go and eat the McDonald's. He goes there lahachis. Also, according to Ramban, that's not concerned that he might have good children. Also, lahalvois beribis. If the mumor la'areilois, what does that mean? Areilois means what? Not to have a brismila? Brismila, he lahachis doesn't want to have a brismila. He has children, and he deliberately decides that he should not give his children a brismila. Then also lahalvois beribis, he holds it's an oser. It doesn't matter. He holds oser because it's not enough. That's also lahalvois beribis. He holds that's not so bad. It all depends. See, there are different types of irreligious Jews. All they come in many different shapes and sizes and colors and flavors. Many times, we all know that. Next, a mosser. What is a mosser? A person that snitches, that calls up the government and says that this guy is cheating on his taxes, or this guy has committed a crime. So this is a very controversial issue. Halacha l'maisa, I need not tell you how controversial this is. The chiluk edeos, all different types of, is there din moseh bizman hazeh? In America, we have rights.
Who said this was designed for American society? Right?
What?
It's a different kind of moseh.
It's very complicated. It's extremely complicated. Moseh.
I mean,
it's probably
some talking. These, yeah. Some of these things, including the last point we made, it seemed to work more effectively in smaller and closed societies.
Okay.
But not in...
The Rambam is brought down in Shulchan Aruch that a moser, what does he say about a moser? The worst things. And there are people...
Because it's happened. All these cases that you hear in the money laundering schemes, they turn, you know, they entrap you to turn states evident.
Right.
I mean, I know a few
but
people...
But the hide behind that...
What about a child molester?
No, there might be a difference between a Masira criminal and a civil. It's a civil. It's a different case completely.
This is probably one of the biggest issues in modern contemporary society. How bizman hazeh do we treat what is a moser? Is a moser have all the rules what it says in Shulchan Aruch in the time of the Gemara? Or today? No, it's a different world today.
It's one thing if you have an oppressive government that.
So there are many people that will argue that. Yeah, I was just saying it's not clear cut.
No.
There are people that will take a hard line and say that all the rules that apply to time the Gemara apply bizman hazeh. I know that's your opinion. You're presenting one side of the opinion. I'm not taking a side. There are people who are dangerous. Let's say you have a child molester,
right.
A danger to society.
Right. He's this week in New Jersey, one of these offenders got himself sentenced. 30 years.
Yeah.
And a lot of rabbonim wrote letters of commendation to the court.
Yeah.
To support him. So someone came out and said, any rabbi who wrote a letter, you have to be maybe not boycott or whatever. Him and his institution.
It's obviously this is not the topic. Just want to point out, you have a moser, a person who is a moser gam kein ein likach mimenu ribis. He writes here Avni Nezer. that I'm not sure it's not nezer, that a masur, you're not allowed to borrow ribs. A person that has a reputation of being a masur, the imhu mumur lechol nevelos l'te'avon oz b'ledivri ha'kol oz l'yach ben a ribis. It is just l'te'avon. Everyone agrees. Probably most people fit in this category. Most irreligious Jews of Zman Hazeh are begedet tinuk shenishpa, and the reason why they do the aver is because it's mitzvah sanashim limuda. That's the way they live their life. They don't know better, and they're begedet oichol nevel. Okay, most irreligious Jews today definitely fit in this category. So basically, we have to just know that there's a very large range of irreligious Jews. Some of them you can borrow money. If one of them is the Pope, if the Pope is Jewish, then there's no question, you're allowed to lend the money. The Vatican comes for a loan. They come to a yeshiva and say, you know, maybe you can help us out.
The other way around. The idea, I assume, is that you don't want to further alienate certain classes of people.
I don't know, that's the issue. This is not a time for tshuva. This is just a bottom halacha, black and white question.
It's a question of getting along with other Jews of a certain category and not certain ones.
This is a halacha question. Well, this is not a question of kiruv. We have a question. You're in a business, and you have an opportunity to make a lot of money by lending money beribis. And it turns out that the person that you're lending money to, they're not religious. Question. I have nothing to do with these people. I have no shaykhas to them. I'm not trying to carve them. I don't want to lend the money. That was business. A business. They want to borrow money for a certain venture, business venture, involves ribbons. Do I have to do a heter iska? I'm going to say the heter iska. To them, they're going to think, who knows what I want from them, to sign these documents, they're going to see what's going on there. I don't want to get into a heter iska. Do I have to get a heter iska? They're not religious Jews. What is the halacha? Very complicated. Well, what is not religious about them? Do they go to church? Are they intermarried? Are they Buddhists?
So there's a reason why we care enough to subdivide the
exactly
along the spectrum of Mumar, and that reason has to do with our attitude towards them.
Right, fine. So just the point is, it's a very complicated issue, and that's the only issue. He gives more variations. A mumor la arelus. You have a mumor for for Shabbos. You have all the different categories. A guy that accepts the chukos ha'agoyim. There are many different variables, and he just says it's very complicated. Okay, let's just begin halacha samach vav. Now we learn the sugya of the solution. The solution is
to have a lot of money to have these shots.
Okay. Amen. Well, not necessarily. I'll tell you Rav Chaim Kinyas, the story of Chaim, this is a very famous story to illustrate how people look at money. So what's the story goes, it took me a few times to really appreciate this story. The first, many times you hear stories, nonsense. Then you hear the story again, and it grows on you. And finally, after hearing the story 10 times, you know, maybe there's something to the story. What is the story? There was a person in shul where they lay in the toichacha, parashas b'har b'chukai sai, who gets the toichacha? The minhag ha'olam is the bal kriya, he gets the toichacha. This is the minhag ha'olam. Why? Because it's not proper to call up someone special for the toichacha. So there's a person in shul that said, oh, come on, Torah is Torah. And in fact, it used to be in Shonim Kadmonios, the Rebbe would get the Teicha, the Rebbe would get the Teicha, so Davar Choshev. But it's not the Minig Bizman, I said. This universal Minig is the Baal Kari gets the Teicha and Zehu, and there's no problem. I'm going to be different. I want the Teicha. I want to show that there's nothing to worry about. Everything is fine. Okay? He takes the Teicha. Rav Chaim Kanievsky said, and Taka, something very bad happened to him. He took the Teichacha, and he said this very seriously. That year, he inherited a Hoinrath, he won the lottery. A Yerusha, and became a multi-millionaire. So people say, wow. I wanted this Teichacha. And he said, and the person was very involved in learning. He was a very big Talmud Chacham, and he had to stop learning. He had to, not 100%, but he had to now spend part of his day being oisik in his mamon, in taking care of his assets. So Chaim said, look at that, it was fulfilled in him, the Teichacha. Until now he was just sitting, Yom V'Layla, sitting and learning, and he was a very poor man, and now he's a multimillionaire, and part of his time he has to be Isaac in Mamoin. So look at that, he lost out, Olam Haba, and he didn't get this money, he would still be learning the whole Yom V'Layla. So it was fulfilled by him, the Teichacha. So 99.9% of the population would say this is the ultimate bracha, that he has this money. Who doesn't want to have money? We are shnora, achmana litzlan, to go wonder what's going to be the next day. And if Chaim Kaneski says, no, he took, you know, that because he took the teichacha, that's why he became a millionaire. So it's all a matter of perspective. So you're saying, halavai, we should all be zeicha, we don't really know. For us, for 99... For 99.999, itaka is the bracha. It seems like a bracha. It should be a bracha, but you have to be very careful. We really don't know what goes on. Okay, let's just begin. So here, in the next time, he begins to discuss the solution. Now, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, in a very beautiful way, it's very unique what he does, how he presents the solution in a very nice way. When you learn the Gemara, you learn the stuff about the Mitzvah, and you learn about all the sugyas of ribbis, doesn't come out, it's not presented in such a way. In fact, Het Eska came after the Gemara, so it's a later Takana. Let's see. A person gives money to his friend to invest. The harevach, and the arrangement is, the profits, yihya lachatzon, will be divided equally. And the losses will be divided equally. Zen nikra iska v'oso. This is called business. Iska means business, and this is furbin. Now, what does it mean? He explains. Mipnei, because ki hachatzi mo'isof elu hi milve biyad ha-mekabel. Half the money is a loan in the hands of the mekabel. Why is it called a loan? Because a loan is something where the borrower accepts full responsibility, and the lender has no responsibility. Sharehi b'achrayitz is responsibility shalo, v'hu noitel es harevach, and the borrower receives the full profit, the gamma hevzelov, and also suffers loss, accepts upon himself the risk, that if there's a loss, he bears the entire loss. V'achatzi, but half of the money, hupi kodon, it's just a deposit, etzloi, by the person who's investing the money. Sharaihi biachrayis hanoisin, the one that accepts responsibility is the depositor, the one that owns the money, the giver. V'hu lokech esarevach mechatzi, he receives the profits from this money. V'gaba hefzid mechatzi zeolov, he accepts upon himself. Now v'yamakabel, the one that receives all the money, shu mesasik v'tarech b'chatzi b'kodon, he busies himself and he works and he invests half of the bikadon, shushaych lahanoisein, zehu rak mibnei shenoisein lo, esachatzi behalva, it's only in exchange for the loan, the havei ribis v'yos, and that's ribis v'yos, let's explain, let's give numbers. I give you $1,000. I'm giving you $1,000. That's the arrangement. And the deal is, you're going to have the $1,000 for 1 month. From this $1,000, you must give me back at least $500. Absolutely. The one who's investing the money must give back at least $500. The other $500 is a loan. That's pretty much what it boils down to. I'm giving you $500 belongs to me, and $500 I'm giving to you as a loan. The money that I'm giving to you as a loan, if you must give back, no matter what. The other $500, it's an investment. I trust that you will invest the money in stocks, in commodities, in the business, whatever you want to do with the money, it's fine. And the $500 that belongs to me, I will take the profits. Or if there's a loss, I will suffer the loss. And the $500 that you're investing, I don't care whether you suffer a loss, whether you gain a profit, it doesn't make a difference. You must give me back the $500. So what has happened over here? I have really, in essence, lent you $500. And you're paying me back $500. But in addition to paying me back $500, you're providing a service. the services, whatever you do with your money, do with my money. So that's ribbis. I'm lending you $500, and you're giving me back $500, plus you're also giving me back, in exchange for this favor, the service of investing my $500 the same way you invest your $500. That's clearly ribbis. You're giving me back more than I gave you. I gave you $500, you give me back $500, plus you're giving me a free service. So what's the solution? Very simple. I will pay you for your efforts. I'm giving you $500, and you give me back $500. At the same time, you're going to do for me a service. I'll pay you $10 for that service. Here's a $10 bill, and this $10 bill is a service. Whatever you do with your $500, do with my $500. And if you'll have a profit, I'll have profit. If you'll have loss, I'll have loss. I trust you. That pretty much takes away at least part of the problem of Iska. Okay, so that's what it says over here. It's also the yesh heter. What's the solution? He goes further. Lezesh im hanoisin noisin lemakabel is a sochar. If the noisin gives to the recipient some money, b'shvil he'omol, on behalf of the service, v'hatoreach shehu misasik b'chelko, then it's mutter. Then you're not doing anything wrong. The yesh liktsoitz oy sheyit heloy miyor b'shas nesinus hamos scharo. You should must stipulate at the very beginning, when I give you the $1,000, $500 will be a loan, and $500 will be a deposit. Will be a deposit. And you're going to invest all of the money, and when my money you will invest for a service fee. You must stipulate at the very beginning what the service fee is. V'yesh liktzoyso sheyiti lo miyad b'shas nesino hamos amshis hamos scharot. V'day afilu b'dover muad, and it's sufficient even for a small amount of money, even an unrealistic amount of money. No one really works so hard, pay work for below minimum wage, it doesn't matter. Halachal ma'isra, Moshe said even a dollar. Could be today, maybe inflation, maybe today you need to be $2. I think in a standard heter iska form, it's something like that, it's like $5. The amount that you're giving a person is for their service of investing the money is a small amount. So let's review what we have so far. We're not finished. There's another very critical part to the heter iska, which is the next part. But let's review what we have over here. In essence, what has happened? I'm giving you $1,000. Let's set up the whole structure of what we're about to do. I'm giving you $1,000. I want you to pay me back $1,200. That's really what you want to do. Ribbis, bank. I want to take on a mortgage. I want to borrow $100,000, and I'll pay back the bank $300,000. Right? Highway robbery. I'll pay back. So it's ribbis. I'm borrowing money, I'm paying back money. So the way we're going to structure this transaction is, no. Or not, I'm not going to borrow, I'm not going to lend you $100, and you're going to pay me back $1,200. I expect that you're going to take all the money, and you're going to invest the money, and you're going to make a $200 profit. So I'm going to assume that you're going to make $100 profit, you're going to make a $200 profit, you're going to make a $400 profit. That's really what the assumption is. I'm giving you $100, I'm assuming you're going to make a $400 profit, and you're going to be making with the... my money $200, and you'll make with your money $200, so you'll give me back, when everything is said and done, $1,200. I'm giving you $1,000, and you're going to be giving me back $1,200. And we're going to break it down like this. $500 a loan. That $500 I'm giving you, and you're going to give it back to me. $500 is my money, it's the principal. I'm giving you, and you're going to give me back my $500. But in the process of, you're going to invest my $500, and you're going to make for me $200, so you'll give me back from that $500, $700. So sach hakol, I'm going to get back $1,200. So in the big picture of things, I've given you $100, and you give me, what do I say? I keep saying $1,000, and I'm giving you, and you give me back $1,200. That's in the big picture of things. But if you want to go look at the contract and the structure of this transaction, it's really 500, 500. Your 500 I give you as a loan, you give back to me. Hopefully, with your $500, you're going to make $200 profit for yourself, Muzum to hate. And my $500 is a deposit, and you're going to invest it. And you're going, I have accepted upon myself the risk, but of course, you're going to make money, and you're going to give me back $700. So I'll end up taking back to myself $700 plus $500 for a grand total of $1,200. And for the service for investing my $500, here's $2. Thank you very much. So I really come away with $1,198. That's really what it will come down to. This is the way it is structured. Now the problem is, what's the obvious flaw with this problem? What happens if the guy loses all the money? What's going to happen? The guy's going to lose. Since we're taking a loan, you will never, I would never give someone $1,000 when there's a real risk that I'm only going to get back $500. That's really what's possible in this example. In this example, I'm giving you $1,000. I'm expecting I'm going to get back $1,200. But the way I've structured the transaction, it's not a full loan. I'm only giving you a loan $500. The other $500 is an investment. This shemazel can lose my money. So according to the letter of the law, you know what's going to happen? I'm giving you $1,000, and a month later you'll say, sorry, Beryl, I lost all your money. Here's $500. You gave me a loan, $500. Here's $500. No ribbis. Oh, your $500? Down the drain. And you've paid me to lose the money. You've given me $200 to take your $500 and flush it down the toilet. Very good. That's really what's possible. So how do you avoid this scenario? So here's the brilliant part of the Heder Iska, which explains the next simush, which we'll do tomorrow. I just want to just tell it outside to bring out this point, because he goes into a lot of detail. The solution is as follows. Who says that when the month is over, I trust you that you only made for me $500? Maybe when the month is over, maybe with my $500, you made $400, $600, $800. When you come back a month later and you tell me, I took your $500, I invested it together with my $500, and I made exactly $200. How do I know? Maybe you made $201, maybe you made $250, maybe you made $300, or maybe you'll come back and you'll tell me, I'm sorry I lost the money, or I only made $100, I only made this amount of money. So we put a tenai in the shtar that says, we put a tenai that if you want to say you lost money, you didn't make the expected rate of return of investment is $200. If you want to say that you made less than $200, you must bring witnesses to testify that you made less than $200. And if in the event, and you also make a tenai, that in the event that you make more than $200, whatever more you make, you have to pay. If you make $300, $400, you have to pay whatever profits you make. But you have to make a shavua. You must make a shavua, an oath, in Beis Din, or the way we write it today is you have to go to the Beis HaKnesses, and they take out the Sefer Torah, you have to hold the Sefer Torah in front of the whole Tzibur, and make a shavua to declare exactly how much money you made. If you don't want to make that shavua, then I will accept the accepted amount of profit, and not demand anything more. Since there's a risk, you may make more, you make less. And if you make more, you have to make a shvua. If you make less, you have to bring witnesses. So, you know what? I'll make an arrangement with you. If you don't want to make the shvua, just pay me a fixed amount of money, which is the expected amount of money, which is $200, and everything will call it a quits, we'll make it even. So basically what's happening over here is when the time is over, when 1 month is over, the person brings back the $500. That he has no choice because that was a loan. The other $500 was subject to profit or loss. We're hoping that he made from the $500, $200 for a grand total of $700. He comes now and he has to either bring witnesses that he lost the money or make a shvua as to exactly how much more than $200 he made. He says that, you know what, I don't want to make a shvua, I don't have witnesses, so instead of the witnesses and the shvua, let me activate the escape clause in the document. I'll pay you $200 to free myself from making the shvua. That's the heter iska. That's the second critical part of the heter iska. What you're really doing is you are paying interest not to exempt yourself from the shvua on the business part of the transaction. So in essence, the heter iska is based upon two major principles. Number one, we have to restructure the loan as a business investment. But that's not enough. After we structure it as a business investment, when the time is up, you have to present the profits and the losses. Is there profit or loss? There must be real risk. You must have the person who is investing, or who we're calling the borrower, must have the ability, according to the letter of the law, to say to the lender or the person, to the investor, sorry buddy, I lost all your money. All the money went down the drain. And you know what? I'll take a shvua. Like a very small, I'll take a shvua. I'll go to shul Monday, Thursday, on the day of the Sefer Torah. After this, the Hiratzos, even though people don't want to stay, very busy, they have to go to work, for this they'll stay. Guarantee you. For this, there'll be a crowd of photographers. I'll hold the Sefer Torah and I'll make a shvua b'shem Hashem that I lost your $500 and leave me alone. I don't have to pay you back. He has to have that real opportunity. But you know what? There's no person that's going to do that. And instead, I'm going to activate the escape clause in the heter iska. I will pay you the investment plus the $200 expected profit to exempt myself from making this shavua. So sach hakol, what has happened? I gave you $1,000. How much should I get back? $1,200. I got my money back. Was this a loan? Not really. This was half loan. There was no ribbis on that part. Once you're investing, invest to me. It was a business transaction. Was there a possibility for real loss? There certainly was. Can the person get out of paying me back my money? He certainly can. He has to swear in shul. Will he want to swear? Not likely. What does the document say to do if you don't want to swear, to pull yourself out of swearing? Just pay back the investment plus the expected return on investment for me, which is $200. So you're paying money to patter yourself from a shvua because over a business investment, it's two steps away from a loan. That is the basic structure of a heter iska. Now, the old is another condition, which makes a heter iska today very problematic, and that is you only can do this when the person really is investing, is doing a business investment, where I'm lending you money because you're investing, you have a business. I need to buy merchandise, I need capital to invest for the business. But let's say I'm making a wedding. I have a child, I'm marrying off my child, I need money to make a wedding. I have a job, I have income coming in over time, over a year, over 2 years, I'll pay you back the money. There's no heter iska. Heter iska is only permitted when the person that's borrowing the money is using the money for investment purposes. Even a very vague or loose type of investment purpose. But when the money is being used to pay off other loans, I have other chayvos I have to pay, you're juggling one credit card to the next credit card, or you have personal matters in the family that you need to borrow money, there is no heter for heter iska. Then you need to come on to interest-free loans, or the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he does give another solution, which is an entirely different concept, and that we'll come to at the end. Okay, this is the basic structure. Everything I just told you now, he goes through in the next couple of simanim, and we'll stop here.